Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Healthy Hotline. And today I have, they're not a power couple. They are a superpower couple. These people are amazing. And I don't know if you can relate to this, but have you ever met anybody in your life that instantly you kind of like know that you've known one another from prior lives? Well, that's both Angie and Arland Fletcher. And I want to let you know, you can get to them in a couple of ways, but the one that I like the most is Angie Green, and that's her Instagram account, or you can actually go to their website, which is really amazing. And they're in, it's information, you know, a website is like it's a function of passion, you know, and so it's an evolution, and that's what theirs is about. So you can get there by www.angie5.com. So that's how you can find them. Anyway, we're here today, and I'm so happy that you're joining us. This is part of our Lyme series. We're touching the Lyme community. And when I thought about having you guys be part of this program, first of all, I didn't feel as though this program or the profile we're putting out would be complete without you guys being part of it. And when I think about you, I guys think about you in the sort of optimal health. You guys are the Uber biohackers. You're always looking to, you know, upscale the latest technology, biotechnology out there that will help inspire your health, both emotional and physical. And Angie, you have an amazing story and you have a great following, and you really are so authentic, both of you, in the way that you present your lives. And so that's what I find so resonating when I read your posts and things that you do. It's just, you put it out there and it's so real. And for that reason, I think that your contribution to everybody's health and wellness is so important on a daily basis, not just, you know, like the memories. So with that, I just want to spend a minute or two, or have you guys spend a minute or two, just give the people viewing today a little bit of the backdrop of the ANA roadshow. Like, what goes on for you guys in the back scenes? Like, how do you get it together? Like, how did you get to the place you're at today? You know, give us a little bit of that, if you don't mind.
Robbie, you are, you know, going back to what you said, when you meet somebody and you have that connection, that is an unexplainable connection. There are times in life when that happens and it's rare. And when you recognize that, what is attached to that is almost always a lifelong connection, that no matter what's going on in our world and in our lives, that connection is something that remains. That's what we've had with you and your amazing wife. And we're so appreciative of having relationships like that. And you know, to keep that short and sweet, we love you to death. We appreciate you. We love you. And it's a treat to do anything together when we get the chance to do it. So thank you for even having us a part of what you're doing. That's our pleasure for sure. And we just love your heart and your passion.
Thank you.
Yeah. So kind of giving a little bit of a backdrop of my journey, I'll keep it nice and tight. I watched my mother go through a lot of discomfort with back pain. And that was something that was one of the biggest catalysts for me to say.
Debilitating back pain.
Debilitating, yeah. A surgery that went wrong. You know, there was a few things that I witnessed in her life that were, you know, massive markers for me to say, I don't like seeing someone in that position. And there's got to be something that can be done beyond what was being done, not questioning or vilifying anyone, but just knowing that there's a why behind this. How do you get to that why? How do you get to the problem? And how do you create a positive change? That, in a nutshell, has been my journey. So I'm extremely thankful for, you know, being able to gain that head and that heart from watching what my mom went through. But that just has translated into every area of saying people are going through things every day. And you touched on it in the beginning. What areas are we looking at? We're looking at mental, physical, spiritual, all of these things. And there's so many people in today's world that are looking for answers, looking for a different path, and looking, how do I get to the why behind this? And what can I do as an actionable step to create a positive change? that's my heart. That's the why behind me, you know, being up late at night researching something. And like you said, looking at the new technology, but what does this do? And how does it affect the cell here? And what's actually going on? The end result is, how does that make a positive change for somebody? How do they live their purpose in this life to the fullest? If we can be helping them provide the tools, provide some pathways, that's the passion, that's our mission. And that's our heart behind where we're at right now.
Amazing. You know, you said something that was so important just now, because we are all complex. And, you know, the Lyme guys out there, they're super complex, because Lyme mimics and shows its ugly face in so many ways, and the co-infections and how it expresses itself. But what you both of you guys have an innate ability to take complex situations and reduce them down to simple action steps. And that's so important in the life and the that we're living in these days. And so that's like a quality I don't see very often. And I super appreciate that. I know everybody out there today is going to be appreciating that, listening to you and your words of wisdom and the tips you guys are going to offer. And let's keep going. Tell me a little bit more on the backdrop.
My passion and my mission comes from experience. It comes from personal experience, like you said, of surviving, of overcoming, of being a phoenix, all of those analogies that you want to use. And part of it is because I had to, and part of it is because God wasn't finished with me yet. And, you know, when I wasn't able to pick myself up, because my passion and my mission comes from my experience with depression and anxiety, but more depression. A lot of times nowadays, depression and anxiety get lumped together, where for me, they're very opposite spectrums. Depression for me, the symptoms of depression were negativity, a victim mindset, very, very sloth-like. I did not want to get out of bed. Everything was slow. Everything was just very, very down. And when I have anxiety, the symptoms are more, you know, heart racing and you can't stop and your breathing is out of control. Like, there are very different spectrums, and I've dealt with both, but mostly depression for the first 30 years of my life. And from journeying through different places that I was at, different seasons that I was in, social media came around, and I was able to build a ladder out of the hole of depression. And now, because of social media and because of the internet and our website, I'm able to share how I built that ladder and who helped me build the ladder. And I'm able to share the tools, which would be like the rungs of the ladder. And essentially, what I love about social media, it's social, it's interaction. And what I love about that is I'm not just throwing someone a ladder. I've been in the hole of depression. I've been in that hole of grief. Both my parents passed away. My grandparents are all gone. So I've been in the hole of the season of grief. And I don't like just throwing tools out, you know, thinking that everyone is in the same hole. Everyone's bio-individual. We know that. And what I love about sharing is I like using the ladder to get down into the hole with someone, because I like being there. I'm so empathetic, and sometimes that doesn't serve me very well because I get way too overwhelmed. But I found my boundaries in what I can handle and what I can't, in what serves people and what doesn't. So I like getting into that hole, knowing that I'm in that hole with you, but we can now together, we can build that ladder, and we can build the ladder to get out of a hole. And maybe you'll get into another hole in another season, because we all know you can't just heal from one thing and life is magic rainbows. Life is life, and things keep on happening constantly that we can learn from and grow from. And because you've already made that ladder once, you've got that ladder. You can deconstruct it, throw it in your backpack, keep on doing life. And when you hit another hole, you're like, oh, okay, I've been here before. The symptoms may be different. It might be a little muddier. It might be a little darker, but I've got that ladder. And now I have those tools, and I can get myself back out again. And you need less and less help, even though when there's something different, you know, it's nice to have help. And people like you are constant. You are who you surround yourself with, right? That classic saying of you're the culmination of your five closest friends or enemies. I don't know. But you really, you keep us, you keep giving us tools, which is what I love, a friendship and a business and tools and things that can help you grow and help you find the latest technology or the newest science on the sun, and different things that you can build those tools. And we really are a community, and you're never alone in those holes. We all think we are, because when we're in the hole, we're like, oh, I'm the only one. But we're not, we're definitely not. And we can build those ladders together. And you have been a huge part of that. Arlen has been the biggest part of that for me. But yeah, that's a bit of a longer story, but that's my passion. Where I'm at now, you couldn't have paid me $1 billion to tell me where I'm at now from where I was 10 years ago. Depressed, divorced, just dealing, like, hospitalized, dealing with major clinical depression, all this stuff. You never, ever, ever could have told me that I'm going to be where I'm at today. And I can't keep it to myself. You know, I'm so passionate about it. I'm now a workaholic, Arlen calls me, but it's literally,
affectionately.
It's a passionaholic. Yeah. I'm working so hard because I know that I can help people. I've been there and I've dealt with what people are dealing with now more than ever in 2020 and 2021, where disease and health challenges and everything has hit the roof and broke through, and everyone's dealing with a health challenge. And I find it hard to turn off at night because I know that there's one more DM, there's one more person I can help, there's one more person that I can make a life-changing, that I can have a life-changing effect on because of what I've been through. And it really just is so passionate for me.
And Robbie, that kind of, you know, brings us together, and you can see where our paths have intersected in the last couple of years specifically, where the heart and the passion is the same. It's what is the outcome? You know, what is everything that we're experiencing and learning and growing through? What is it all for? It's great if we can move through it, but that is a very, very shallow, you know, capped almost ending to that journey, as opposed to
happiness is only real when shared.
Exactly. And what do you do with things? You know, I often give the analogy when I'm with somebody that says, hey, I'm so sorry to ask you this, or, you know, do you have any information? Or if it's a physical manipulation type thing. And I'm always taken back by somebody being apologetic for bringing something up. And I say, you know, if you were a chef and you had amazing food and we're standing in front of each other and I'm starving, I am so hungry, and I say to you, sorry, man, I'm really hungry. I'm so hungry right now. And you just take all this great food that you just made and you just put it behind your back and go, oh man, that's too bad you're hungry.
I'm so sorry you're hungry.
I'm so sorry about that. That's insane, right? Because you have something that is so easy to say, here, let me share what I have with you. And it makes both of our existence more positive. It makes our relationship, our interaction. But beyond that, I mean, that's the beautiful connection there. But beyond that, where do I go now that I'm not hungry? I'm going to go do life. I'm going to go do more. And hopefully, if I gave you more, you gave me more than I could eat, I might have some leftovers. And I know somebody else that's hungry that I'm going to go share with and change somebody else's hunger, right? So that's how my path, Angie's path, have continued to cross over, and that end result saying there are so many people that are looking for help and looking for direction. The end result for us is, how can we share what we have to make a positive change? That's why we are both up late at night, often later than we should be, because we have another day. We don't know if we have tomorrow. We don't know how many of those we have. So why live like you're just going to cruise? And maybe if somebody comes along and knocks on your door asking for something, why wait? Why not see what you can do to create a positive for others? Because the ripple effect is the most satisfying thing. It's not in our personal interaction. It's what does somebody do with what they have gained? And then watch that continue to grow and grow and grow.
And you might not ever see it. There's so many things that we'll never, ever see.
Absolutely.
But that's your legacy, right? Is to be able to create that change in humanity.
Wow. Wow. My heart is swelling right now, just listening to both of you talk about this. And there's a few things that really resonated with what both of you have just said. And particularly, Angie, when you talk about, you know, building a ladder or building that bridge, it's an interesting skill set. Like that almost you have to practice. Like it's hard in the beginning because it's the first ladder, like the first house, the first thing you do. But the more you do it and the more you practice it, the easier it gets to do. And that really is a great lesson for all of the Limeys out there, because it's when you're in the hole, you know, and you're looking up, yeah, you're right, the whole sky is above you. And you think, well, I'm in the bottom and there's only the only way I can go from here is up. But getting that first rung on the ladder and figuring out what the next one is just to help yourself get out of that position isn't often that easy when you're in the hole, when you're down on the, when you're down and out.
Nothing easy about it. Nothing.
Okay.
I don't front that. I don't fake that. It is the hardest thing to do is to battle your mind and put in actionable steps. The absolute hardest thing to do.
You guys have both said, you know, building this ladder is something that obviously is an important thing to learn the skills to start building a ladder. It has to start with something. There has to be something to build with, right? You don't just decide you're going to build a ladder, but you have to have something to start with. And that's kind of what you're talking about. Where do I go? What do I start with? Angie's done an amazing job at creating that community of trusted, reliable information that gives people some materials to start building that ladder. The desire is not going to do it. It's having the information,
motivation,
having the tools, and having some instructions. And it might be kind of a cheesy way of saying it, but most people know what it is to go to IKEA and buy some furniture that you're going to put together. Once, I know very well.
He's an IKEA expert.
Most people will also understand if you bought four of the same thing, the first one, you're going to feel stupid probably three or four times going, oh, I should have done it this way, even though the instructions told me to do it this way. I tried to maybe quickly go around it so I can get it done faster. But now I've got to backtrack because I did it the wrong way and I tried to go too fast. Just do it the right way. Go through the process the right way and you'll end up with this great cabinet or shelf. But the next time you do it, if you bought four of them, the second, third, and fourth time, you're just like, you might make a mistake or do something off. But my point is, once you've done one, once you've started the process, once you've done the unboxing and figured out what you have, placed it how it makes sense for you, now when you go through the building process, you're on autopilot more than you are trying to figure this out and make sense of it. Like I said, it might be a weak analogy, but I think a lot of people can understand that process of having to figure out something for the first time, but being able to quickly go to it again and say, I got this because I remember doing it either 10 minutes ago or last month. I can zip through this process a lot more comfortably and easy with less mistakes. That's the whole process that we're talking about when you're talking to Limeys, right? It can change. Your symptoms can change. Your reality changes. The mentality absolutely changes because it's something that is a constant. Are you kidding me? I'm still dealing with something that I thought I was doing well in or I was progressing in. And I'm just going to touch on that really quick as well. A symptom is only caused by something, right? It shows up because the actual cause is somewhere and you see a symptom. Don't be discouraged when a symptom appears that it's all negative. Sometimes symptoms can appear because the body's able to finally get to work in another area that it hasn't had the bandwidth to be able to get to. That can be really discouraging when you feel like I'm doing okay, I'm making progression, I'm moving through this funk. Wait, I thought I was doing great. I added one thing and now I'm just taking a hit. Why? You know, life's horrible, you know, because it's discouraging when you feel like I was doing everything the right way and I was moving in the right direction. Why am I here now? Don't be discouraged by that. I know it's discouraging, but don't be discouraged by that. Understand is if we can give our systems what it requires to do the job it can do, remove the things that need to be removed, include the things that can be included to get our systems to start working optimally again. There's going to be ups and downs, but it's a progression forward. Even if it's a down, it's a progression forward. As long as you're putting in the work and using the tools and building the ladder, doing all of these things that will continue this forward progression through the journey that's in front of you. Angie said it before, this is life. You know, I think one of the most challenging things with social media and in the world we live in today is the comparison game, right? So where somebody is in a health challenge or in a journey is your destination is quite often something that is way up here, because that's what you look at often in social media. And you look at these, you know, perfect life pictures kind of a scenario, as opposed to saying, where am I and what is moving forward? As opposed to, I'm going to be okay once I get to way over here, but everything from here to this point, I'm just trying to hurry up and get through, and I can't be satisfied where I'm at. Robbie, you said we try and spend time where we are and try and be present and be in the moment. Most of us spend a lot of our lives looking to the next thing and looking, what do we want to get to? And we forget to celebrate and be present of where are we? Where have we come from? And again, going back to me, hopefully encouraging people saying, did you take a downturn? Where were you? Why is your body able to even maybe take that downturn? Because you're moving forward. You're going to be going through the ups and downs, but if it's a big picture forward progression, you're winning. You're doing something that is producing a much happier, longer life in the end game of things, right? The big picture of things. So I wrapped up a lot of stuff there, but I hope what I can be doing is encouraging people, you know, start somewhere, get the materials to build a ladder. You're going to have to do a few ladders, guaranteed. But once you start that process, that becomes a familiar pattern. Even if the materials change or the direction has to change for the ladder, it's still kind of figuring out how to build a ladder. But be encouraged that you're in the process of climbing out, even if it's a detour one way or the other.
You know, one of the tools that I like to use is journaling. And especially because a lot of the symptoms that Lyme patients have are very subtle. And so a great little story, personal story with my daughter had to do with pain. And I couldn't really relate to her pain. She'd say, Dad, I can't move. I'm so much pain. I go, well, I'm not. So I know your pain is your pain and I trust your pain, but give me a number, just put a number on it. So I have some way to calibrate this thing. So I said, if 10 is the worst and 1 is the best, you know, least amount of pain, what number are you? Well, I'm a 9. So great. Okay. I can work with that. So now it's all relative to her. And that's all I need to know, because it's not about me. It's a story about her and all the Lyme patients out there. And I said, okay, now let's do this little protocol for pain and let's see how we do. And we'll track it over the month. And every morning when you wake up, I just want you to put a number down, like what level you're at. So we started off the month 8, 9, 8, 9, 8, 9, middle of the month 7, 8, 7, 8, end of the month 6, 7, 6, 7. Okay. So we went from a 9 to a 7. So now we start month 2, and I keep thinking the Lyme patients out there, you go to your doctor asks the standard questions. How are you feeling today? Great. Are you still in pain? And are you in pain? And the generic answer would be yes, but she wasn't a 9 pain. She was a 7 pain. That's a 20% reduction.
Yeah.
That means the protocol that we're working on is actually working, but because the body tunes up in different ways and in different velocities, different speeds, you know, it doesn't necessarily present itself like that, but we are moving in a positive direction from this pain discussion. Now, what does that do to speak to you, Angie? That takes you a little bit out of that depression and anxiety around depression, because I'm not stuck anymore. I'm actually moving in a positive direction, maybe not as fast as I'd like to go, but I'm moving in that direction. So journaling is a really nice way to kind of catch those little subtle nuances, address the emotional part, like depression, anxiety, and all around that, while you're also looking microscopically maybe at your physical shift. And so, you know, what both of you guys are at and what you're talking about is so important. And where you start, your reference point to where you start is so important. But also recruiting these little tools like we're talking about can make it much easier for us. And I love what you just said, Armin. I love looking at someone that's a little smarter than me or has a little bit more life experience in the area that I'm interested in researching. And so what can I glean from you two, that's going to change my life in a positive direction from the things that you've done? And being self-aware and having the mindset of trying to help my neighbor do a little better, I'm willing to share that. Because if I can make your life easier by you not, it's like navigating through a coral reef. If I can keep you from getting cut up because I've done that journey before, why not? I mean, it's all a karmic exchange and going to help all of us in the end. And then if I save that life, if you save that injury, then that person can turn around and save one or two other people and so on and so forth. And then really what we're about is really making this happening. And the last part of my little diatribe now is you, Angie. You've created a momentum, you've created a culture, and you've created a platform. And so, you know, you don't know, well, you know today what I'm wearing, but when I'm on Instagram or when I'm texting out or blogging or whatever the terminology is, pardon me, you don't know what I'm wearing. You don't know what I look like. You just know my words, and that's sharing among a sense of community. And that's a very safe place to be because I can ask for this help without feeling needy. And yet I can get the information that I need in order for me to elevate my own awareness and maybe take that next step or get enough momentum and enough courage to take that next step. And that's a beautiful thing that you guys have done and created. It really is. And people talk about social media and social network and the buzzwords and the SEOs and all that stuff. But when you reduce all of that down and the smoke settles, it's just about sharing ideas and elevating each other's lives so that we can enjoy our time in Earth Camp.
Honestly, I think it's the most powerful thing. It's become debilitating, like we were talking about, for comparison and mm-hmm. and different things. Social media has definitely had a lot of negative effect on humanity. But in pointing out a hugely powerful thing that it's done for me is community. So especially if we're talking to the people with debilitating chronic disease and chronic pain, when you're in pain, it is absolutely the hardest thing to go through. We both have been in a lot of pain. We've seen people in a lot of pain, debilitating pain, where you can't even think straight. You can't see straight. There's no way you're building an IKEA cabinet when you're in that much pain. So what social media is, what I have found, especially just speaking from my experience, when I was smoking a pack of cigarettes a day, so depressed that I couldn't even see straight, and so depleted, because depression for me isn't a disease, it's a symptom. It's a symptom of depletion. So depression equals depletion in my experience. When I was that depleted, I couldn't eat a salad. My body was so, my gut was so broken, and everything was so ravaged from the cigarettes, from the acidity of the toxic coffee. Like from my lifestyle, I was so depleted that if I drank a green juice, because now all the influencers are like, just drink a green juice or just do this. And you're like, when you're in that position that I've been in, a green juice would make me so bloated and in so much pain for days. I would literally rather have a McDonald's cheeseburger. Like a McDonald's cheeseburger made me feel better, my stomach, than a green juice. So circling around in why I'm saying that, why social media is so powerful and so amazing for a community like the Lyme community, is because I was not understood by my family. I was not understood by my closest friends. I had to have somebody from outside help me. So a friend of mine named Tim, he came to my house, took the cigarette out of my hand, and put me on a bike at night. So when I didn't have my son, because I was divorced, we went on night rides. And I didn't know, I mean, I knew him as a friend, but he wasn't like a close circle friend. He was just an acquaintance that turned into a healer for me. So he put me on a bike and we went on night rides. And that was literally one of my first rungs. I couldn't have built it myself. I didn't have the energy. I didn't have, you know, the tools. I didn't have anything. But because he took me out of my circumstance and literally held my hand, which is what we need. We need people to hold our hands. We need help as human beings. It's so healing to have help. And when you can't have physical help, when you don't have someone physically with you, then you can go to social media and you can join these communities of Lyme patients, of cancer patients, of people who have been through and are going through it. And you can gain certain tools and you can gain knowledge. And because it's not a one size fits all, you know, not everyone is debilitated in the same way. We're all in different seasons and in different seasons of pain, and something may resonate with someone that doesn't resonate with someone else. So really finding what resonates with you and what works for you is huge. And it's not only going to come from one person. It's going to come from a myriad of people, a multi-therapeutic approach to wellness, to healing. There's no straight line. There's no up and down. You can't even see if it's up or down because, like Arlen said, you're just moving forward. So whether you're down or whether you're up, when you're looking at it this way, you're just moving forward. It doesn't matter really if you're up and down, because that's typically just emotionally charged. Down is negative and up is positive. I don't see it that way. I see it as a moving forward and having people come in and help you. And that's what we do. And that's why it's so powerful with social media, is because if you have a phone and if you have a laptop or if you have something, you can use it for good instead of, like, it's your choice. You can either compare yourself to someone who's doing better than you, or you can use it as a tool of saying, oh my goodness, this person did that thing. Okay, I'm going to try that. Oh, you know what? That doesn't work for me. Oh, there's somebody else in that community that we really have gone through the same things and we resonate, you know, on this frequency level. So that person can help me. You have an endless, a worldwide web of access to someone when you're in that hole, unless you're off the grid and you have no access to anybody. But I just wanted to say that you have a powerful choice of a community when your family doesn't understand you. Like, you don't have to feel like, oh, no one gets me. Quite typically, you can't be a prophet in your own town. It's very hard to heal in your own environment. Sometimes, not always, but most times, because people know you from what they think they know you as. So sometimes you need an outside source. You need someone like us who doesn't know you, but you, like you said, Robbie, you feel safe in communicating with, or someone that you just found online, or like someone that doesn't know you, but knows the bigger picture and can help you. In our teamwork, that we literally go through that on a daily basis, because I try to be real and raw on my Instagram. I definitely try and be real, but I go through massive stresses on a daily basis. Like, I'm human. We all go through these things. And he's this constant reminder of a bigger picture, because it's fine to say, just stay in the moment, stay in the moment. But when your moment is debilitating pain and disease and illness, and you want to throw up because the pain is so big, you really can't be in the moment. You have to be a little bit outside of that moment. And I know that you touched on that again before, but there's no perfect recipe. There really isn't, but there are tools and there's hope and there's experience and there's people who have been there. And there's a sense of community of knowing that you can heal. I have healed. Arlen has healed. We're continually healing. We're not in this blissful place of euphoria over here. You know, we're continually healing and continually upping, like putting more tools into our toolbox and saying, you know what, this helped for this season. And now this actually helps more. But again, you can't use this tool if you're here, because you really need to have this one before you can get to this one. So it's just this constant thing that we're all in. But
I love your reference to seasons. And the flow around the season. And I don't know if you know about this about me, but for 10 years I studied Old Testament. And after I read the Old Testament, like cover to cover for the first year, I'm on the second year and I'm reading the same words, but yet my headset changed so that I'm not focusing on the first paragraph. I'm focusing on the third sentence and the fourth paragraph. So something changed. The words didn't change, but the way I looked at the book changed.
Absolutely.
And so that's the seasons that you're talking about. That's constantly changing and renewing. So it's not just that it's like a sort of influx and in an enjoyable way, in an embracing way. So that same change is renewed, allows you to renew yourself. That's the hope that we're all looking for out there when we're flat on our backs, hurting because we overdid it. We're just saying, okay, I can do this. I experienced this in some way before. I got through it. I'm going to get through it now. And I'm going to grow and learn from it. I'm always torn on the topic of the internet. And one of the reasons why Melody and I are bringing this whole series forward is because we're recruiting some of our closest friends and greatest minds, I think, in healthcare in general to contribute. And I think sometimes, like, you know, we're generally healthy, we're clearly thinking in a way, but when you've got a chronic challenge, you're not healthy and you're not clearly thinking, but you need help. And there you go to the same internet and you just get overwhelmed with good information and bad information. So it can work both ways. I think part of it, just like everything in life, you find a trusted source, people that you resonate with. That's why I resonate with you guys, because you know, you're authentic, you're on point, you're empathetic with the situation, whatever it may be, and you're happy to share to help my life. And those are the things that I look for. And so for all of you out there listening, before you even start to look, maybe you should sort of think a little bit about the things that the qualities you want in the chat room or the blogger or the Instagram channel and so forth that are components of things that resonate for you. So that when you get to that page, when you find that source, you go, oh, yep, this is the one, I'm hanging here. This, I can relate to this community. I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm trusting.
Remember to change it up too, because we outgrow circles and that's okay. You know, we outgrow chat rooms. We outgrow people that we follow. I'm constantly doing a detox of my social media of who I follow and who I don't, because you realize like, oh, when I was pregnant, I was following this group of people and that really was a good season to be in. But you need to change it up, because we're constantly changing and constantly growing. And if you're just stuck in these old patterns, it's very hard to grow. And it's okay. It's okay to let that go and to move on. And if you don't resonate with me in the season that I'm in, I definitely will have somebody that I can point you in the direction to. That's the beauty of community, is saying, you know what, right now you need this person. You know, you need this pastor, or you need this priest, or you need this mom of three who really has no time, but she can connect with you at this point. Like it's so beautiful to be able to have this community for different seasons that you're in and not think, oh, I'm just going to stick with this person for the rest of my life.
And I think to touch on that, Robbie, as well, I mean, you guys have both said this, but you know, we look at reviews when you're purchasing anything these days, because you know what it is to be sold. You know, we often joke about the 1950s TV commercials. They're comical when you look at them now, right? They're cute, but they're comical.
Margarine.
Exactly. You know, like, oh margarine. My goodness, they thought we were absolutely.
You do that too well, Angie. You do that too well. Okay. So I'm not paying attention to you, but I want to focus on Ireland right now. Go ahead.
You can keep it as a product after this, or just whatever it was, right? But my point is, when people are constantly sold something and treated like they're not intelligent, you start tuning out and not trusting very much at all when it comes to presenting you with something new. That's why a company like Amazon was one of the first, right, that really hammered reviews, because most people now, if they see something like, I'm going to quickly see what somebody's saying about it. I really want to see what the product is doing. Is it saying it? How many good, how many bad? The point is, we look to get a little bit of a, hey, did this work for you? Was this good? Was this bad?
Right.
that's what we need to do and what we are doing with social media, of what information are you taking from somebody and is it reliable? Is it trustworthy? Is it authentic? That's an important place to start. Your season can change. The people that you're connected to, like said, can change. But having a source of who do I go to, you know, having a source of, like Angie, pointing somebody to this person or this person when you have already a base of trust, that's an important place to start. Because you said it earlier in this talk, you go to the internet, good, like, how do you know, right? How do
your
you know what to trust?
Your ladder completely collapses. Your ladder, like, starts on fire.
Well,
it's a, a bonfire kindling.
Right. It's, you know, you start with toothpicks and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
So it is important to be able to start with a small circle of trusted sources that then can continue to give you specific direction and what you're looking for. That's the beauty of the good things about the social media world and the internet world. The other thing that I think is just really, really important for us to make sure we're continuing to encourage people that are taking the time to listen to this, you're here because there's a need, an interest, but more often than not, a need for continued knowledge on what do I do? How can I understand where I'm at? What is a path forward? I think what Angie said is probably one of the most important parts of any person's process, wherever they are, is having a community that hears you, that understands you, supports you, and then hopefully gives you some wisdom to move forward. But the first three of those categories, the first two probably more specifically, when you have Lyme, and I think most people that have been diagnosed with Lyme have some sense of what I'm going to say, it's kind of a write-off. Oh, you have Lyme. So what do I do? Well, we could do this, we'll do this, we'll do this. You kind of feel like you're just in an ocean of possibility, maybes, I don't really know, is really what it comes down to a lot of times when people first get that diagnosis of here's where you're at. We don't really know if that's what most people are actually saying. They're probably saying, I don't really know what to do with you. So we're going to start trying a few things and we'll see what happens. That's not comforting. And it's discouraging.
You're an experiment.
You're an experiment. And it's a journey that most people probably listening to this know. It's not a couple of weeks. You are constantly in this journey of, okay, I guess they said we're going to try this. Well, now this is a problem, so we're going to try this. My point is to try and package that nicely. Being heard and understood is one of the most important things somebody on that journey can have. Having connection, like Angie's been talking about, to be able to share and to feel like these people understand what it is to be in my shoes. Even if there's not answers, there's a shared community that says, I get you. I hear you, I feel you, and I know what it is to be in your shoes. Some people will be on the same path and saying, I'm so thankful I found you to share this journey, because if I was alone in this, I'd be a mess and I might want to just give up. Having somebody alongside you, maybe ahead of you, maybe behind you, all three of those can be so beneficial, because if you see somebody behind you and you've been through it, you don't want them to give up. You don't want them to just throw in the towel. If somebody's ahead of you, they can encourage you and you say, they've gone through this and this is where they are. I'm going to keep doing these things to make sure I move forward. All three of those positions are a possibility with social media. And I think that's the beautiful thing. We have a close friend that we've done some work with that said he was a part of a group a number of years ago. That group ceased and they still get together every Saturday. Just because, and their walks of life, what's going on in their lives, all of these things make no sense that they would actually be people that spent time together. But the thing that drew them together is the thing that continues to hold them together. That's the beautiful thing in the journey that's not fun for a lot of you to be going through with Lyme. The relationships and the purpose from that is something that is long lasting. be encouraged that this journey can be something that produces positives. And I firmly believe that. We often don't grow unless there's a need for growth. And that is meaning a challenge that's placed in front of us that you have to figure out how to move through it. That's a beautiful thing with where most of you are, is trying to figure out, where do I go from here? How do I move through this? Once that growth happens, it's yours. Now you either share that, even if you didn't share it, but you're living a different existence, what are you doing with that existence now? Does that mean you're sharing your journey with Lyme? Or does it mean the thing that you're passionate about, you're able to continue to be passionate about and move through and share and live this life as it's meant to be lived?
Because that's yours. No one can take that away. The process is yours to keep.
Yeah.
And no one, right. Without that, no one can take the process away from you. Someone can take a pill away from you. And all of a sudden you're like, oh no, what do I do without these pills? But if you go through the process, that process is yours and you become stronger and stronger. And no one can take that away. And that's something that you can share and give more hope and more of a sense of control and more strength when you go through that process. And that's not negative. That's extremely positive.
And I see that as hopefully I'm not insulting to people, you know, listening to this, but Lyme has so many interesting challenges attached to it. But if you can look at it as a positive, you're taking the advanced course in how do I treat my system to live a full and beautiful life, because you're not going to address diabetes. You're not going to address this thing. I'm not going to address it.
A tangible, yeah.
You have so many things that you will continue to gain from and learn from that comes back to how do I work? How do I make sure I'm doing the things that give me full life? That's more across the board. And that probably means you're going to be around a lot longer than people who haven't had that challenge, because you'll have the opportunity to learn, to put into practice what you've learned and live a fruitful, healthy life. That to me is the beautiful thing about Lyme, as weird as that might sound. Again, I hope that's not insulting, but you have a great opportunity to learn and to move through that challenge and then to flourish on the other side of it and through it.
And to meet warriors, to meet people who have just been through hell and are surviving and are thriving. And you can become a warrior. You are a warrior if you're dealing with it.
Yes.
Just meeting exceptional people that you never would have met before if you weren't in this circumstance.
Yeah.
You know, two words come to mind listening to this latest part of our discussion. One, to your credit, Arlen, when you talk about the buddy system, finding that person to help you through, it's like it's having accountability to yourself and looking to your friend, partner, or community per se. It keeps you on track. Because left to yourself, then you're back on the bottom of the barrel again, looking up saying, I can't figure my way out of here. But having the lifeline of finding someone sense of community platform, like what you guys have created, gives you that lifeline and gives you that reference point to bounce off your ideas off of without sense of judgment. And that's so important, because oftentimes the family dynamic is the most destructive and toxic, because, and not on purpose, they're all worried and nervous and have their own material, you know, crazy stuff going on in their head. They only want to do is help you. They see you getting sicker by the moment, and they feel somewhat impotent in their own way of not being able to support and help you. And so they put that on you when that's the last thing that you need right now. You just need a life preserver, you know, or just some kind of lifeline to help you pull out. So, you know, it's a hard thing when you're the Lyme patient to be able to be strong enough to say, you know, I need some space, Mom. I love you. Thank you for my grilled cheese and tomato soup, because it'll always be comfort food for me. But that's not what I need right now, you know, and be able to do that. So for all of you out there looking for that, you're not crazy to think that you might, that loved one or someone that's so close to you may not be the right person for you in the moment. And maybe someone you don't know without a face, but has that sense of community and empathy and knowing what you're going through is the right person to be able to go to.
It's not forever. When I was going through my divorce, I didn't speak to my mom for 3 years. And at the time, that felt like an eternity. And it felt like the worst thing in the world. My father had died. And so I had the guilt of this single mom and I wasn't talking to her, but I had to draw a boundary because she was only able to deal with what she, how she was brought up and her mentality around divorce, which was, you know, non-negotiable. But I knew that I had to get through that. And after those 3 years, which I hate putting, you know, a timeline on it, but whatever that boundary, that bubble that you place around yourself of healing, however long that is, there can be healing on the other side. Before my mom died, we were closer than we've ever been in our entire lives. So we mended that relationship, but she had to know my boundaries and she had to know to respect that. And we had an incredible relationship, but it wouldn't have been there if we hadn't had that time apart. And it's very, very hard to do, but it's a huge part of the healing process is to know what is serving you and what's not. And if you're in that toxic relationship, you can be doing all the processes and all the things, but there's still that thing, whether it's from the outside or whatever, that is extremely, extremely a huge part of your process, whether that's moving you forward or just constantly pulling you back.
Right. And by the way, that could be your general doctor that you were going to when you're symptomatic and you read about Lyme and you think that's what you got and the doctor isn't Lyme literate or doesn't have any experience with it. And they say, I did your blood tests. You're fine. You got to be crazy. Go see a psychiatrist. You know, you have to know that inner voice inside of you. That's the best doctor on the planet, by the way. And you have to have the strength to be able to say, you know what? You're not the right doctor for me. Yeah. I got to find someone who hears me, understands me, is willing to listen to me. And it's amazing. You know, we've all traveled a lot and maybe a little less now public traveling because of COVID and things like that. But I always just, you know, think about, well, you meet, you know, you're traveling, let's say if your guys aren't together, if I'm just traveling for business and I sit next to someone on an airplane and don't know that person, you know, never knew that person before, won't know that person after. And yet here it is, I'm in a safe place. I could tell that person anything I want to say, right? Get all of that free information, right? Yeah. And then the plane lands, I go my way, they go their way, you know? There's a lot of safety in that, right?
Yeah.
Wow. We've taken up so much of your time. You guys are beautiful, wonderful. I can't thank you enough for joining us. So we only have a few minutes left. And I'm just wondering if there's something out there that's lingering in your minds that you just want to get out before we have to call it a day.
Yes. So,
Yes. Honestly, we have another 5 hours. Are you good? Because we have that much to say.
Well, wait a minute. Let me go get some more change to put into the meter and I'll be with you.
There's so much. That's why we have a website. That's why we have an Instagram account. That's why we do lives constantly. That's because there's so much information and it's constantly changing.
We are
so much to say.
Hungry to be able to share tools that will make a positive change for people. That, again, you know, going back to what we said, that's our heart and that's our passion. And we do have a lot of those tools and a lot of that information, but what we don't have, we love to connect with people who do have what we don't have and still share that. So it's not an ego-based, we have it all at all. But we be, hopefully what I was saying, can we be something that provides people the place to come to at least go through a filter of, I trust these people already. Now I'll see what this has to say on what I'm dealing with here. That's what we want to be. The thing that I want to leave with a couple minutes, and then I'll pass it over to Angie, is building off of what I've said. If you're here and you're in this place, you're having a specific reason why you've been sitting listening to us, and you're living through something that you are either watching someone or experiencing yourself that you are trying to navigate. I just want to say it for the 10th time, be encouraged that the fact that you are where you are is moving forward. You can't listen to this kind of a conversation and be left empty without something to move forward in. And hopefully that's the beginning or a continuation of a process that you're on. But be encouraged, because you have this life and you have this day to live. There's a reason for that. I often say there's a why behind absolutely everything. As much as it's uncomfortable, there's a why behind you having the circumstances that you're now living through. But trust that there is a purpose in that process. If you can focus on your greater why do you want to be here? What is it that you want to be a part of? Find your why and let that be something that is a driving force of moving through these challenging and difficult things that are ahead of you still. When you find that, is that your kids? Is that your grandkids? Is that, you know, being a part of an organization that is so close to your heart that you want to be able to make a difference? You have today. We don't know if we have tomorrow, but live every day like this is your opportunity to make a change with the time that you've been given. That is what I hope you can take from anything else I've said. You're here for a reason. Live out your days with purpose. If you don't have a why, find one. And that will be such a driving force for you to continue to go through the challenging things ahead. And hopefully we can be a part of that journey that makes it less challenging and build community that's now something that is, again, less challenging that you continue to move forward.
Wow. That's not a why, that's a wow. So, Angie, is there any,
yes.
I know the answer to that already, but,
No, honestly, it's huge. And it sounds cliche. I've known him for 25 years. And again, I'm such an empath that, like, I really feel the person who is watching this, who maybe is in bed and who can't get to the tools, because I've been there. And my lasting words that I would want to convey is there is hope. There is hope. There is a why, like Arlen said. And I'm crying because I literally was dealing with this morning. I'm constantly dealing with this of, I want to be somewhere else. You know, we live in this tiny place right now and I get frustrated and I want to move out of California, and we have these growing kids, and there's always just this, like, oh, you want to get to this other place. You're sick and you're in pain and you want to get somewhere else. And he's always bringing me back to, what if there isn't a tomorrow? You know, none of us are guaranteed that. None of us are guaranteed this afternoon. And I say it all the time when people get overwhelmed and they ask me, like, what's the next step? I say, do what you can with what you have in the season that you're in. But know that if you can't do what you want to do, there's other people that can help you, mm-hmm. Whether it's online or in person or whatever. But there are people who have been there, who have been in worse places that you've been in, that can help you. And it's everything's available to you. Everything is available to you. You're not the only one. So many people have been going through so many different things. We're all in this together, all in different seasons, but there is hope. There is hope. There is hope. That's what I want to say.
Wow. Angie and Arlen Fletcher, you guys are amazing. I started by saying you are a superpower couple. Now you are the superpower couple offering a lifeline and a silver lining to a story that everybody is living through out there that's listening. Thank you so much for joining us, the Healthy Hotline. You're the icing on the cake of this series that we're doing for the Lyme community. And I'm so happy that you had the opportunity to join us today. Thank you again.
Love you, Robbie.
We love you. Melody. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's Robbie Bessner. Thanks so much for joining us today. Please share this content with anyone that you think might benefit from it. And we're looking forward to having you with us tomorrow for another great interview.